So you and I are our body and spirit. We're visible and invisible. And so God's going to communicate himself to us both ways. Invisibly, he can just infuse his Holy Spirit, his love, right into you if he wants. And then he can also, and he does this, he communicates it through visible signs as well. And that's why that first reading from Ezekiel talks about, I saw the temple, and then he turns it into nature. It was like a river of fresh water coming in. And then the trees, you know, were beautiful and producing all kinds of fruit. So we have the invisible grace of God that can just come straight down into us. But then we also have the visible. That temple, that's why Jesus was upset. He said, this temple, it was supposed to be a visible sign of the invisible prayers that you were supposed to be offering to the Lord. The friendship from God you were supposed to be experiencing, and all you want to do is make money, and you're greedy, and you're dishonest. You turned it into a marketplace. Get out. Get out. Come here with a pure heart to this visible temple. These visible stations of the cross remind me of the invisible love that God had to die for me. These visible sacraments, bread and wine, this is my body, this is my blood. I forgive you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the confessional. These visible sacraments communicating the invisible grace, life of God to us. And then Paul reminds us in that second reading, you are that temple. We have the visible temple, but you are, brothers and sisters, you are God's building. That's really what he wants. That's really what he wants. Is he wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. He created the world and the sun and the moon, the universe, but specifically this world, he created it to be our home. And then he created man to be his home. You dwell here, I dwell in you, if you let me, if you let me. And you let me until you sinned, Adam and Eve. You know, you were filled with grace. And then you broke relationship with me. So I've been on this 6,000-year rescue mission to bring you back to me. You got to make a space for me. You got to make a space for me. You got to let me come in. And that's your using your free will. And each one of us needs to do that. And that's our first vocation. And so this last week, we've been praying for vocations. It's been Vocation Appreciation Week or Priesthood Week. And so today specifically, the church asks us to pray on vocations. And I thought, well, it's so much more than just praying for priests or praying for sisters, because it all starts with our fundamental vocation. We all have, every human being has the same vocation. They taught it to us in the Baltimore Catechism. Remember that very first part? Why are we here? To know God, to love God, to serve God, and to be with God forever. That's my mantra. That should be our mantra every single day. That's why I'm here. This is what I am to be about. I want to know the Lord, and I can't know the Lord. You can't know someone you won't talk to. You can't know someone you won't spend time with. Prayer. Prayer is time with the Lord. That's why we do the Jesus. Jesus, I'm opening up a space for you. And Jesus says, that's why it's so important, my children, that you get all sin out of the way. Sin will block it. And also, negative habits will block it too. You're such a worry wart. Why are you worrying about everything? That's blocking me. Worry, stress, anxiety, complaining, negativity. He says, that has to go away. And then you have to open up a space for me to come in. Prayer. 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 May prayer reign in our lives. Make sure you're spending at least half an hour to an hour a day in prayer. I should be spending 2 to 3 hours a day in prayer. The monks at Vina should be spending 5 to 7 hours a day in prayer. That's their vocation. This is my vocation. But all of us have the same vocation. And when a priest once said to Mother Teresa, I'm just so busy. And I know what he means. I'm just so busy. I really don't have that much time to pray. My work is my prayer. And she said, Father, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Period. Stop. Stop the rat race. Stop it. Slow down, make time. That is so important. Do you not know that you are that temple? We have to create that empty space. And I told you about that lady from Illinois, maybe it was last week or the week before, and many people are receiving messages from the Lord and Our Lady in these days. And she started to receive locutions, inner messages from the Lord in the 1990s. And He gave her a vision one time, and He showed her a young, beautiful girl, 17, 18, 19 years old. She was in her bathing suit, bikini, next to a pool, and she was tanning herself. Her nails were done, and her hair was really done with makeup. And Jesus said, "You see this girl, I love her so much, but she doesn't have my heart. And so I really wanted her. Her vocation was to be a missionary. That was what my plan was for her, but she can't hear my voice. Her mother raised her to desire the things that the world offers. And so I really don't blame her, but she's caught in that trap of the false illusions, the false values of the world. He'll still keep trying. I'll still keep trying to touch her heart, but I lost her as far as being a missionary. And that was my plan for her." Which brings us to our second vocation. So it all starts with fulfilling that first vocation. Jesus says, you do that, then you're going to have my mind, my values, my priorities. Now I'll be able to lead you into your second vocation, which is all of us are either going to be married or single or consecrated. Right now, all of us here are in one of those states, right? And there are times through your life when that can change. Father Keith Canterbury, good friend of mine, he was married and raised a family, and then his wife passed away. And so when he was 56 or 8 years old, he asked Bishop Wiegan, "Can I be a priest?" Bishop Wiegan said, "Yeah, I'll accept you." And I spent 1 year in the seminary with Father Keith. And he was ordained, and he spent about 20 years serving our diocese up in Weaverville. So there are times when your vocation, you know, your spouse changes, you become single. Your spouse dies, you become single. But those are the three calls. And God has a plan, a call for each one of us. Each one of us is going to be married or single or consecrated like myself. How important it is then, once you know the Lord, then your next kind of mantra needs to be, "Lord, I want what you want for me. I want what you want for me." And that takes a lot of trust. Because you have to trust that how He allows your life to go, it's going to make you happy. You're going to be happy. That was my big fear in 1993 when the priest, after an hour and a half of spiritual direction, he said, "I don't know, Chuck." I was teaching high school at the time, St. Francis High School in Sacramento. And he said, "I don't know. You're 33 years old, good year to be crucified. You love the Lord, and you're not married. I just wonder if He might want you to be a priest." And every now and then, God will have someone say something to you that actually is Him speaking it through them to you, and it will penetrate into your heart, and you will know it's true. And that's why I started to cry when He said that. I said, "That was not my plan." The whole reason I quit the golf business, I was the pro at Table Mountain Golf Course where Russ and I will still play. And the whole reason I quit that was so I didn't have to work weekends. I said, you know, golfers, we work every weekend, and I miss so many fun things and so many family events that happen on the weekends. And so I want to be a teacher. I like kids, I like young people, and I like teaching at the high school. My plan was to be married, have kids, maybe a deacon, a good holy deacon like this, like Deacon Mike, Deacon Ray. This was not my plan. And up until I was 28 years old, I would have just closed the door on that. Because until I was 28, I was kind of like that young lady laying out by the pool. I wanted the things of the world. And I didn't have the mind and the heart of Christ, didn't have His values and priorities. I wanted to be the next famous Jack Nicklaus. That was my goal. I'm going to be a famous golfer. I'm going to be on TV. You will all know me. I will be rich. I wanted that girl by the pool. I wanted the prettiest girl I could find on my arm so all the boys would be jealous of me, build up my self-esteem, my ego. But those aren't godly values. And that changed when I was 28, and I let God come in. I made a space for him, and he came in, changed my life. But I wasn't planning on being a priest. 5 years later, I wonder, Chuck, God might want you to be a priest. Can't say, now I can't close the door on that. I got to let that come in. What do I need to do? I don't know. And he said, you got to be willing to quit teaching and go back to school. This time as a student in the seminary. My seminary was in Columbus, Ohio. And I was there for about 6 years until 1999. And that's when I was ordained. And I had to trust, because that was my big fear. I won't be happy if I'm not married, don't have sex, don't have kids, no weekends off, no more golf and whatever. I'm not going to be famous, not going to be rich, not going to be this, not going to be that. I'm not going to be happy. And that's not true. That's not true. I have found out that it's not true. So you have to have courage to follow God, and His call where it's leading you. If you're called to be married, you have to discern that as well. You have to be, if you're a man, you have to be a godly man so that you can want a godly woman. I wasn't a godly man before I was 28. I didn't want a godly woman. It wouldn't have been good for me if I'd gotten married. Would have married probably the wrong person. So you got to be a godly person who wants a godly person, okay? So if you discern that, I think my vocation is marriage, then you got to say, I want a godly person, Lord, to marry. A godly man, a godly woman. And then parents, you need to encourage your kids to their vocation. You say, we want what God wants for you. And if that means you're not going to be the next Jack Nicklaus, that's fine for us. If that means we won't have grandkids, okay. That'll be a cross, because we really wanted grandkids. People don't have as many kids now. And so they don't want their kids to be priests and sisters because they want grandkids. That's okay. We'll carry that cross. We'll enjoy all of your kids, all of your parishioners, Father Chuck. So we want what God wants for you. And you need to be praying for your children's future spouse. So 5-year-old Jason, there's a girl out there who's 5 years old right now who he's going to marry in 20 years or so. You need to be praying for that little girl. Lord, make her a godly woman and with a lot of patience, because Jason's Jason. And then you pray for the future spouse, because isn't that what you want for your kids? If they're called to marriage, you want them to be happy, married to a godly person. You have to have a lot of trust as parents. Single, I do know some people who remain single their whole life. It's not the norm, right? It's not most. But some are called to be single. And Elizabeth is called to be single. And she's a consecrated single person. And you are my spouse, you are her spouse. And so she is married. I am married to Christ. She is married to Christ. And our spouse is you. And we serve you every day. That's what she does. That's what I do. We use our freedom. We have a greater freedom. We use our freedom in order to do the Lord's work, because we have greater freedom than people who are married. And so we are open. Oh, God, you want me to be a missionary? Maybe you'll be that missionary that young lady was supposed to be. He has a plan for each one of us. All three of the vocations, married, priesthood, single, are called to intimacy. Intimacy is the ability to share my feelings with another person in an authentic way and a vulnerable way, and have them share in the same way with me, to where you feel comfortable. I feel at peace with you. I feel comfortable with you. I feel happy with you. And our sharing is filling me. That's intimacy. That's what's going to make you happy. No matter what else you're doing in life, whether you're single, married, or a priest, intimacy will make you happy, starting with Him. I opened a space. He came in. Oh, I can be intimate with the Lord. I can share with Him. He likes me. He doesn't just love me. We all know God loves us, but we don't think He likes us. He actually likes us, even though we mess up, even though we're not perfect. Oh, intimacy with the Lord. Vocation number one. Now I'll develop intimacy, starting with my spouse, if you're married. That's always my prayer, that couples will be best friends, that you'll be best friends, intimacy. And then have that in your family, so that when you go home at night, you enjoy going home. You enjoy walking through that door. You actually enjoy your kids. You enjoy your spouse. And that's what's going to make you happy. And that's what makes me so happy. For me, celibacy, not getting married, I thought at age 33, you know, I have to give everything up. Will I be happy? Now I realize that celibacy is actually a freedom to embrace. To embrace. And so couples, married couples, you are called to intimacy with one person. Not with anybody else. You will be physically intimate with this one person and all other people on the earth. You will be intimate in a friendship. Only with this one person. So you limit yourself as well. I am intimate with all people. But it's all about relationship. It's all about intimacy. And single people are called into intimacy with all people, their neighbor. And so our last vocation would be, you know, what you do for a living. And I haven't really said anything about that. Because if you do your first vocation, God will lead, that's loving God, He will lead you into your second vocation, marriage, single, consecrated. And once you have that, you know, what you do and where you do it doesn't really matter much to God. And so, whether you're going to church here at St. Thomas More or you're on vacation in Maui and you go to church in Maui, God says, I really don't care where you're at. I care that you love me, whether you're in paradise or in Maui. Whether you're having a hamburger at the taco truck here on Skyway, or whether you go to Las Vegas like I did. I had never been to Las Vegas, so I went with my friend Joe Rossetti, and we went to the top of that needle where the restaurant goes around real slowly, and we had a hamburger there because that's all we could afford. And that was really cool to sit at the top of that needle and look at Las Vegas as we went around and had the hamburger. But God was saying, you know, I don't really care that you're in Las Vegas or that you're in a taco truck on Skyway, but I do care how you're treating the servers that are serving you. You see what I mean? He doesn't really care where we're at or what we're doing. And I looked at my life and the careers that I've had. I mean, it started all the way when I was a kid doing chores for a quarter a week. Do you guys still give your kids, do they get allowance anymore? Do parents give their kids allowance? We got allowance. If we did our chores, I got a quarter a week. And but back then, tacos at Taco Bell were a quarter and gas was a quarter. And then after that, I had a shoebox. I had a shoebox and I would shine shoes around the neighborhood because our house was down Elliott and you just cross Skyway and it ends and then and Oakmore is right there where it ends. That's Oakmore. So I would always walk home from school and walk back home. So I'd go around the neighborhood, and I would shine the men's shoes, you know, for a quarter. Everything was a quarter back then, I guess. I got my dad made a quarter. and so I would shine shoes, make money. I had some yard jobs. I would do some people's raking, you know, make some money there. And then when it snowed, we would shovel people's, you know, driveway. So made some money there. That was when I was a kid. My first job was at A&W. So the Thai place right here used to be A&W. That was my first job. $1.85 an hour. And then after that, I had a paper out. If you remember the Ridge Gazette, was a throwaway paper that we would drive in our cars and put on everybody. We'd try to hit everybody's mailbox as we threw out once a week. I had a job at the Ridge Gazette. And then I worked at the Bass Norte. I washed dishes at the Bass Norte, which was down on Pence. And then when I went away to college down to Sac State, I painted with a buddy of mine, I painted apartments in an apartment complex. And then I also worked at Baskin Robbins. And that was the worst job I ever had, by the way. I just got so tired of the hard ice cream. And then all of you would come in and, can I have a taste of this? Can I have a taste of that? So those were my jobs. Those were my jobs. But my first career was the golf business. 1983, graduated from Sac State, and I got a job at Lake Wildwood Country Club as an assistant pro, which is on the way up Highway 20 on the way to Grass Valley. And I did that for 3 years. $750 was my starting monthly wage. And then my second career was after getting a teaching credential in 1986 at Chico State. And I worked at the Catholic schools down in Sacramento. Those were my careers. And then this is my last career, by the way. I don't have any other career plans except to just change address one last time. So if God lets me live here at 6761 Woodland Drive, where I'm at right now, I hope to change address one last time when I go to heaven. That's kind of the plan, unless God calls me into something else. But that's been, I would encourage you to go back over your life and just take a look at your career path, how it has taken you. Even though those things are secondary, God would say, Chuck, I really, you know, you were a golfer, you were a teacher, and all I was really caring about was that you were loving me, knowing me, loving me, and giving me glory no matter where you were and no matter what you were doing. And so don't worry too much about that third vocation. It's secondary. And yet, go ahead and pray about it. Go ahead and pray about it. Because I do believe God wants us to do certain things. And if He wants you to be a nurse, pray about that. If He wants you to be a teacher, pray about that. If He wants you to be a golf pro, pray about that and ask Him. And sometimes He will lead you. He will open up the doors to those things. Other times He closes the doors and you're going to have to say, well, I want what you want for me. So if you close that door, I really wanted that job but didn't get it, then you have another door open over here somewhere, so I'll go that way. And then the last thing is sometimes you don't have an answer to your prayers. Do I move my family to that other town? Do I take that job over there? And when God doesn't give you an answer, what He's saying to you is, do whatever you want, and I'll wait for you wherever you go. I'll go ahead of you. I'll be there. That's called His permissive will. So don't stress too much if you just can't get a concrete answer about a concrete situation that you have. That's God saying, make your decision. I'll be waiting for you wherever you go. Okay? In the end, it goes back to having Jesus Christ, right? As that sure foundation. It all starts there. And I think if we do that, we won't have to worry. We really won't have to pray for vocations. We'll have them. We'll have them. Because men will be open to the call and they'll be happy to respond. Women will be open. Singles will be open. Married people will be open. And God's will come in. And we will glorify Him. Praise be Jesus Christ.